Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hi, welcome to Scam Wow. I'm your host, Caitlin Brodnick. I love you guys, and I love scams. I'm so excited to share this episode with you because this week, my son is starting pre-K. And let me tell you, I've never been so unprepared just to function in life. Like, we visited my family in Maryland. I forgot to get a dog sitter to the last minute. We showed up today to the pre-K orientation, and they were like, do you have all of the supplies required? No, I don't have any supply. I don't know. I'm sure it's just me, and there are way more organized, put together parents out there. But this summer, I think it's because it was the first summer where COVID wasn't as petrifying for children under five. And so we did so much more. But after having 2 years of doing nothing, I just am not as able to multitask like I used to. Also, apparently multitasking is a scam. Like, people just say that they are, but they're not really giving 100% to anything. But I mean, I'll say I'm a multitasker. That's fine if I want to get a job. But between us, don't feel pressure if you're not good at multi-scamming. Guys, I forgot it. You guys, this is where my head is at. So we are doing a rerun episode today. And I picked this episode because the title makes me laugh out loud. It is about a ridiculous, sad, probably, kidnapping-ish scam in Australia. It's one of the ones with Sue. It's really fun and goofy and not, I don't think anything pertains to what life is like right now. So it's a nice little blast from the past, way pre-pandemic. I love you guys. I miss you all. And I wish you the best. Multitasker. That's it. Okay. Multitasker. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being Patreon patrons too. If you want to hear extra bonus episodes, fun details, extra clips, and I always give an update on my financial situation, you can find us on Patreon at ScamWell Podcasts at Patreon. You can always email us, call us at 347-509-9414 because you know I love a phone call. And I love all of you. Thank you to producer Jess and Kate. And I'll see you next week. Hopefully my brain will be put back together. Maybe part of it. Enjoy. Hi. Welcome to Scam Wow.
I'm Sue Smith.
I'm Caitlin Brodnick. And we love scams. Guys, we love scams. We love you. We're all in this together. This thing called life that's just slowly tripping by.
Thing called 2020 that's just dragging on for eons.
Why won't it go? So many things have sped up in my life. Like, I felt like I've missed a summer. I've missed the beginning of fall. I don't know where I am. What's my name? But 2020 is like this cyst that won't go away.
2020 is like a fucking hemorrhoid.
It's a hemorrhoid that you won't get rid of until the baby comes.
Yes, it is.
How are you doing? I'm fine.
Yeah.
Our amazing guest who's sitting here so patiently. She's so cool. Guys, first of all, I have to brag. Okay, this is my friend. She's amazing. She helped me teach Lewis how to swim. Lewis dunked his head under and I freaked out. This is a little backstory. Ariel's incredible. But most importantly, besides that, she was quoted by the New York Times saying she had a perfect joke. And I am just so excited. And it was current. And it was during COVID. Okay, I'm just going to read a little tip. This is from Jason Zinneman. He said, on a beautiful Thursday evening in Prospect Park, Ariel Elias is a sly young comic from Kentucky. Walked down a hill, looked at a few dozen socially distant audience members. This joke perfectly captured the odd mix of excitement, anxiety, and guilt I felt sitting in a socially distant crowd. Some unmasked, cackling through illegally produced stand-up comedy under the vast blue sky. It's all backwards, Elias concluded, adding that even handling bar fights has changed. Now they say, hey, buddy, take it inside.
Oh, wow.
I just had to read that because I'm so proud of her.
What a great quote. Please welcome
Ariel Elias.
Wow, I've never been so uncomfortable.
I'm so proud.
It's all downhill from here, man.
No,
New York Times says you have a perfect joke. Wow.
A perfect joke. I called Ariel after. I was like, do you realize a perfect joke?
Tens across the board.
That's incredible.
Ten, New York Times.
During COVID?
Wow.
I describe Ariel to people as like, well, she told the perfect joke described in New York Times. That's how you got to do it.
I'm so hot right now, physically.
You're wearing a sweater, take it off.
But I was very cold.
Well, now you're on Scam Wow, and things change on a dime.
Things get heated up in here.
Things get heated. Ariel's so fabulous, you guys. I cannot say enough great things about her. She's a local historian, like myself, and just a great friend. And when friends are succeeding and they're telling perfect jokes, you have to celebrate and scream
about
them.
You have to lift them up.
You got to. So perfect joke, lady. What else?
So perfect joke. What do you got for us?
No pressure, but can you?
Nothing. I have nothing.
Okay, don't tell me anything. Don't even worry.
Caitlin, you're very easy to be a good friend too. Oh. I mean, Sue, I don't know you as well, but I think you're probably very nice too.
Thank you. Yeah, no, Katie's a good. I feel like you're on the, whenever I would have a cab driver and he would like talk to me and he'd be like, so what do you do for a living? I'd be like, I'm a comedian. And be like, oh, tell me a joke. I feel like that's the situation you're in right now.
Yeah, it feels that way. I would never tell a cab driver what I do. I always say dog trainer.
Really?
That's true.
Yeah, because this, without being too culturally insensitive, they're usually from a country where they're afraid of dogs. And so then they're afraid of me because they think that I can speak to the dog.
They really?
That's my theory.
I think you're completely correct.
I didn't know dog phobia was like a geographical
thing. It's a big thing. No, it's
I mean, there are different cultures. There are some cultures that like do not understand why dogs would ever be inside.
Yeah, in Astoria, there's a lot of people that cannot stand our dog. They like jump to the other side of the street. They'll run into incoming traffic. They are really, it's a really fabulously diverse neighborhood, but they are completely afraid of our dog.
Oh, wow.
Good for you. I'm going to tell people that. I tell people I'm a mom and then they're like, oh, great. That's all I'm going to talk about. I tell them how tired I am. And I always say, I have one. Can they go any more? And then I tell them no, and they're disappointed. Everyone's disappointed. I don't have seven children. You're never going to talk to me again. You're dropping me off in 5 minutes. I'm going to whatever, TJ Maxx. You don't. Why is it upsetting to you that I don't have more children?
Oh, yeah. Can I tell you my last Uber driver, when he dropped me off, he asked, like when we were on my block, he asked me what I paid for rent and I told him, and then he sort of started making fun of me because he lives on Staten Island and owns a place, and then it drastically affected how I tipped him.
Good.
You're like, you own a place. What are you doing?
Yeah. I was like, please don't roast me while I'm just trying to go home.
Yeah, and I'm going to rate you a negative review.
Oh.
No, I still give him 5 stars. I'm terrified.
You're a good person.
Terrified. You're terrified that he's going to get you.
Right, he knows where you live now.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid of being mean to strangers.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Originally, Kentucky.
I'm from Pennsylvania, but I feel like that's a Midwestern thing is like, polite no matter
nice
what.
Nice to strangers.
Yeah.
I think it's everywhere outside of New York and Boston.
Actually.
Is like being polite to people around you.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like a common thing you also learn in kindergarten, but it soon gets kicked out of you in New York as soon as you get in.
So are you into scams? Did you bring us a scam? I know nothing.
Yes. Okay. So first, before I tell you my scam, can I tell you that Bernie Madoff is specifically why I didn't get to go on Birthright with my school?
Yeah.
Tell us why.
Because Bernie Madoff, he obviously scammed all these people out of their money, including a lot of Jews who like gave to the like Birthright Foundation.
Oh.
So suddenly they lost a ton of their funding and had to cut all these trips, and they started prioritizing like only older people or if you had gotten in under a certain deadline. And I waited until like kind of the last minute, as is my thing. And mm-hmm. so I got rejected from Birthright, which I didn't know was possible. And then at the last minute, they added on another trip and I got to go, but it was an Orthodox trip with nobody I knew, and none of us knew each other, and only a couple of us were Orthodox. But I didn't get to like fuck any of our soldiers.
That's not fair.
Not ours, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like Bernie Madoff personally cockblocked me.
He definitely did.
Yeah.
Definitely. So like the birthright money was like tied up in his pyramid scheme, kind of.
Yeah.
So, what a dude.
So I'm like into scams. The scam that I chose, so part of it is also when I was in fifth grade, there was this girl who, like, looking back on it now, I feel very sorry for her. But she suddenly, like, one day, like, found, because we had those desks that had, like, you could put stuff inside of them, you know, like, you could reach in.
I love those.
And she, like, one day, like, reached in and found a note that was, like, a death threat. This was in fifth grade. She found a note that, like, had a death threat to her. And everybody was like, oh, my God, like, what's going on? And then, like, throughout the days, she would, like, find more and more. And then she would find them written inside of her textbooks. And then, like she, like, accused a boy in our class of doing it. And then one day, we just kind of, like, saw her with, like, her hands inside the desk, like, with her arms moving. And then she'd be like, I found another one. And it was, like, she was writing herself death notes to, like, get sympathy. So in that vein, I give you Samantha as a party. Have you heard of her at all?
Never.
No, nothing.
I know nothing.
Okay, this is still like a current thing.
Oh, good. Okay. We're out of the loop. Get us in it.
So, okay, we'll start in 2010 in Brisbane, Australia. This woman named Dakota Johnson shows up. I guess not really a woman. She's a girl. She's 14 years old. Her name is Dakota Johnson. Real quick, does that raise any red flags to you?
Dakota, yes, isn't that a name famous of person?
The one from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes. Yeah, okay. The actress's name from 50 Shades. Great. Great. You guys are unscammable. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank God. She shows up. She like goes to the police. She's like, hi, I'm 14. I was like traveling with my uncle. We got separated. I'm like a victim of like trafficking. I was like raped, all this stuff. And they're like, oh my God, this is so awful. Yeah. So they like, all she has with her are like some clothes and a laptop and a letter from a private school, and a receipt from a bank from like the island where she said she and her uncle had been traveling to. And so she like, they're like, let's help you.
Was she trafficked by her uncle or she was?
So it's like pretty unclear.
Okay.
But that seems to be like the implication.
Okay.
And when she says like they parted ways, it's like, it's not clear if he ditched her or if she escaped.
Okay.
But like either way, something traumatic happened. They're very clear on that.
Is she American or Australian?
No, she is Australian.
Okay.
Great questions.
Thank you.
But so they're like, okay, you're 14 years old. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, go to school. And she's like, great, I'm so happy to be in school. And then the police, this is like a sentence I read that did not connect with me at all. It was like, the police really wanted to help her. Like, can you imagine? No,
clearly Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Australia's a really nice person country. Like, I feel like everybody there is very kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everything around you is hostile. Like, that's the whole environment is so hostile. So they're like, we're going to help. It's like how, like, people in New York are like nicer to each other now that we've all like faced so much death.
Yes, but only New Yorkers.
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody else was already nice.
Yeah.
So the police like do some more digging because they're like, well, wait, we have to like bring these people to justice who hurt you. And so they're like, let's check her laptop. They find this photo of her with her family and it has a timestamp, like a date. And they do some research and they're able to tie it to some tour guide that like her family went on some vacation. Come to find out, they find out who she is. She is 22 years old. She is not 14. She is Samantha as a party. She forged the letter from the private school and she forged the bank receipt.
Wow.
So they're like, what the hell? So she like faces some charges, but it's Australia. So it's like not that bad.
It's very kind.
Sure. So that's 2010. In 2011, Emily as a party, which like she didn't even change her last name.
Wow,
so lazy.
Yeah, lazy.
She shows up in Perth or Pith.
Is that how you say it? I don't know.
I think that's not how I say it. I think that's how they say it.
And we have some listeners in Australia and they will correct us. So guys, so yes, feel free to write in and tell us how it really sounds.
So she shows up and is like, again, a teenager. I couldn't find out like how old, but she's a teenager. She makes friends with this girl, tells this girl that she is like a world-class gymnast who trained in Australia, which is such a fact-checkable, like, just be like, yes. Do one cartwheel.
Right. Backflip for me, please.
What a weird flex.
Yeah.
It's such a crazy lie. And she's just like, yeah, I'm like this elite gymnast. And then she like, you know, she's like friends with this girl, meets her parents, and then tells this her friend's parents at some point that her whole family has suddenly died in France. And not only have they died, but her father killed her mother and her twin sister.
Oh my God, a murder suey.
I mean, it feels like a Schitt's Creek, sure. Moira, yes. Storyline from the soap opera she, sure. was on. Like, it's
exactly.
So her friend's parents are then like, oh my God, you poor thing, we'll adopt you.
Oh no.
How old is she pretending to be?
She's got it.
It's unclear. Yeah. But like, between 14 and 16.
Okay.
And she's actually 23. She was born in 1988.
Okay.
Not a whole lot known about like her early life.
Okay.
So she's like, oh my God, really? You would adopt me?
Oh,
I
no.
would love that. So this bitch steals the identity of a judge in Florida who is an actual adoption expert. Like gets, I don't know if she like hacks into that person's email or just fakes an email. And then emails the parents. Of like, here's what you'll need to get all the adoption papers. It's just, it's so much work. I can't get over the work ethic of this girl. She then fakes a birth certificate. Mm-hmm. They like adopt her, sort of. They enroll her in school. But then as soon as she gets to school, the school is like, oh my God, this is not a real birth certificate.
Or a real person.
And she does 6 months in jail.
Wow.
Which is another, like, I can't imagine a school doing like that much due diligence.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. So she does 6 months for that. Then in 2013, she shows up in Dublin. And she shows up like just on the street looking very dazed.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's such a funny description.
Like she's time warped there.
Yes.
She learned how to teleport, figured it out, scammed her way into a teleport certificate, ended up in Dublin.
Yes.
So she shows up on the street just like dazed. Somebody in Dublin comes up to her and is like, excuse me, lass. Like,
spot on.
Do you have listeners in Ireland? They can email you too about
yes,
how
yes,
they
guys. Ariel's really crushing it tonight as far as your accents. You're welcome. We also have people in, I think, Peru. So okay. Work on that one.
But so she's, they're like, do you need help? Like, are you okay? And she like can't answer. And so they just like call the ambulance and take her to the hospital. That like seems like the logical place for her. So she's in the hospital. She's still like not speaking. They assume she speaks no English.
Yeah.
She's like mumbling shit for 3 weeks. She's in the hospital for 3 weeks.
What
not
a good
saying
gig.
Shit.
What a
nobody
good
can
gig.
Such wow.
Free rent, free meals.
Fine. So like somebody hands her like a piece of paper and she starts drawing. And she draws the first thing she draws. The article that I read, which was a great, it was a New Yorker article, recommend. It only goes up to 2013, but if you're interested. Mm-hmm. She draws a tiny stick figure, which is her, on a plane to Ireland. And then she draws that same tiny stick figure on a bed with several men surrounding her.
Oh, geez.
And the nurses and doctors, like one of the nurses starts like bursting into tears. They're like, oh my God, this girl was trafficked. Like, this is so awful. Like, where did she come from? Who is she? They like do all this work. They put in all these hours. Finally, this is like, I'm curious about what your thoughts are on this.
Mm-hmm.
The police then they take a photo of her and put it on all the news.
Mm-hmm.
Like trying to find out who she is. What do you think about that? Because keep in mind, they think she's like a 15-year-old girl who's been trafficked.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Also she's if she's a trafficked victim, like that's, there should be some degree of privacy.
Then her traffickers could be looking for
her.
And
aggressive.
Yeah.
So So that happened. What actually happens, though, is her stepdad sees the photo and is like, oh, my God, that's fucking Sam.
There she
and
is.
And calls them up and is like, hey, that's my ex's kid. So then they find out this girl has over 40 aliases.
Wow.
And it's just like, she is a con artist. Like, she's
and there was
Sam.
No, like, to get her to Ireland, like, there was no... Like, I'm curious, was there some sort of, like, sexual thing she did to get there? Was she, like, was any of that true? Or is it all fake?
Do we know how she got to Ireland? Do we know how?
No, I don't know how she got to Ireland. Like, I mean, she
teleported,
she flew,
right?
But, like,
okay.
Yes, through time and space. There's also, all I could find about her upbringing was that, you know, it was, like, she was born in 1988 to, like, a middle-class family, and she was, like, erratic.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, like, she sure. very well could have, like, gone through a lot of trauma, right? Like, something could have happened to this girl. Who knows? However, there are plenty of people who go through trauma who do not come up
all
with
of us.
So insane.
Everybody listening has gone through trauma.
Yeah.
We only have one screen name.
So that happens. 2014, the next year, she's in Calgary. Her name is Aurora Hepburn now.
Oh,
which, like,
wow.
That's so fake.
Wow.
Aurora Hepburn.
Like, also, like, the audacity to think that you belong amongst the
Hepburns. I was going to say.
Is so
Audrey
beyond.
Or Catherine, either side of the globe, you don't.
So at this point, she is 26, says she's 14, does the whole, like, I was abducted, I was sexually assaulted, I was tortured, shows up at a police station, says all this stuff. They put in, like, all these hours and money to try to look for her, da-da-da-da. Where she had actually come from when she got to Calgary was she had previously been in Ireland, even though she had been deported before. She, like, still, like, scammed her way back into Ireland. Figured it out. She was working as an au pair.
That is terrifying.
That is terrifying.
Yes. But apparently she was a great au pair.
You need a lot of imagination with kids.
Because she can play a lot of characters. Yeah. That's why.
You need to come in Eve every day, like, afresh, anew. You need to take each day as it comes. A lot of kids have multiple personalities.
Yeah.
You know, she
totally.
Needs to live in a different reality every time she sees these annoying children. I get it.
Yes. They're like, let's play pretend. And she's like, that's my favorite.
On it. Beat you to it. I'm already pretending.
This is my life. Pretend is my life.
So when she was in Ireland as this au pair, her name was Indy O'Shea, which even to me seems like pretty, like, I don't know. It just seems so Irish.
It's bad. It's a bad name. Yeah.
Said she was 18 and would, like, to this family would casually sort of, like, drop hints about her past. Like, she was real mysterious, like, real vague. But would say things like, talk about, like, how she had been on a private jet and, like, had these, like, prominent relatives. And then at some point she just is just like, yeah, the illegitimate child of the Princess of Sweden.
That's amazing. That's my favorite. That's my favorite lie of all the con artists.
And the parents are also just like, okay, like, yeah. There's no whatever. And then she says, there's, like, some convoluted story that I couldn't even make sense of. She ends up needing a new passport. Says she had been an au pair for, like, a Danish politician previously. She gets a new passport, but the passport has a different name and a different photo. The parents see it and are like, what the fuck? And she's like, no, it's fine. They said I could do this.
They?
Just like me.
They said, no, it's okay. They said it's fine.
That's my favorite thing. and then at some point, and then so from there she goes to Calgary and that's when they catch her again. Okay. That happens.
Wait, what does she do in Calgary? What kind of
stuff? That's when she just, like, showed up at the police station and was like, hey, I was trafficked and tortured.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But it's, like, very weird. There's just, like, little, some of these are, like, super detailed stories and some of them are just like, she showed up here and pretended to be raped.
It's so weird that she keeps going to police stations when she's committing a crime.
Yeah. Well, it's so weird.
Because it's like, well, it's so weird to me too, because I feel like usually scam artists, there's a goal. Right? Like, the goal is, like, money or, like, I don't know, like, a great time.
Yeah.
With her, it's, like, I don't really, like, the goal seems to be, like, sympathy.
Attention.
And
I think it's an attention. I think it's to stir up, like, chaos wherever she is and have everybody sort of fuss around her. It might be, like, she probably did have a weird, whatever her family background was.
Yeah.
It sounds like her stepdad's like, yeah, that's my ex's somebody. Like, he doesn't really care. So maybe this was, like, the way she could feel need or attention or, you know, that a family of people or cops care about her because she's lying about something that is – she's picking the most, like, horrific, sad, upsetting story. She's really – and pushing that hard.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the stuff you, like, can't and shouldn't question. Yes. You should question, like – like, when you see, like, you know – logic flaws, like, sure, but it's like, yes, if like a if somebody who you think is 14 years old shows up and is like, these horrible things happened to me, you don't go like, did they Twitter does, but like, we shouldn't
no.
And also, it's, even if they do sort of ask those questions, it's very slow. Everyone knows that if you're dealing with an actually traumatized child, you have to go very slow, you have to gain their comfort. Like, that does give her an extra week in a hospital bed with free room and board. Like, it does, it's sort of the kind of thing she can pull that keeps her at whatever location as long as, until they find out.
Wait, so we're in Calgary, right?
Yes, we're in Calgary.
Okay.
I think there's also, sorry, just real quick, I do think there's also this thing of, like, I looked at photos of her, and there aren't so many because she was very careful about, like, she was really insistent on, like, never wanting to be in photos. But, like, the photos that there are of her, it's, like, this girl does not look like a teenager.
Really?
And I think, no, I mean, like, sort of. I think it is this thing of, like, every, like, high school show or movie you watch, like, all the actresses are, like, actually 26. Yeah. And it's, like, yeah, so all of these, like, to see this actual 26-year-old show up and be, like, I'm 14, they're, like, okay. Like, I think there's, it's just,
everything's weird.
That's wild.
Okay. So then she shows up in Sydney. Now her name is Annika Decker, which, again, these names.
Decker, yeah.
And this time she makes friends with this girl, with this American girl, who I think she's like 18. So they become friends, and Annika, God, tells this girl she was like royalty who was kidnapped as a young girl.
Oh my gosh.
And her keepers were Interpol agents.
What?
And this
what movie had she just seen on whatever airplane she flew over from?
Yes. And it's like, also, I feel so bad for this American girl, but also, like,
she picked the dumb American.
I mean, I never want to victim blame.
But you're a dumb dumb. No, I could have been that girl so easily.
Same. It's like so romantic. And she's like traveling.
Wants to help someone. Whatever.
Yes. So then, like, and she, like, Samantha tells this friend, Samantha/Annika, tells her new friend, they're after me, they're after us, like, somebody's gonna kill us. She then, so the friend, the American friend, gets an email from somebody whose email address is at Interpol.com.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's like, it would at least be interpol.org.
Or,
you know what I mean?
Or
gov or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So this email, which of course is Samantha, is like, you're in trouble.
Oh, no.
Molly, you're in danger, girl. You gotta get out. You gotta get out.
There's a meme of you're in danger, girl. All that stuff.
Yeah.
In danger, girl.
And so this American girl then gets sent documents. That they need in order to get new IDs. And she's just like, yeah, I'll help my friend. I'll go get document. Like, I'll go get the new IDs for us. The ID name for the American girl is Amy Fisher.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Okay.
Sure.
So they go to Brisbane. They get out of Sydney. They go to Brisbane. It's hard to say if this is real or not. I think it is not. But Samantha then says, like, one night, she's like, I have a really bad headache. So the American girl calls an ambulance, which is like, what health insurance do you have that for a headache?
Yeah.
They're in Australia, but still, like, just to be conditioned to.
Australia does have great healthcare, though. It's incredible.
For a headache?
No, my best friend went. She said the hospitals were spotless. Everything was so nice. She was like, I wish I lived there.
Australia is a place where, like, I wish I could die there. It's just, it seems so nice.
Completely. If you ever have a headache, first fly to Australia, then call an ambulance in Australia.
And it would still be cheaper if you got your medical bill. Yes.
100%.
So upsetting. So the ambulance comes, and the EMTs or whatever they are ask Samantha, they're like, are you okay? Like, who are you? Da, da, da. She then tells the EMTs that she's 14 and that she and this American girl are sisters.
Honey.
And the American girl is like so taken aback that she's just like, okay.
Yeah, she's probably very confused.
Yes. So they get to the hospital, and when they're in the hospital, they like pull the American girl aside, and it's like police and doctors and staff, and they like accuse her of kidnapping this girl who they think is 14 years old. And they're like, and she's like, no, I didn't kidnap. Like, I don't know what to.
I'm sure what? Samantha Annika said that to them privately. I'm sure she pulled over a doctor and said, she's kidnapped me, because nobody, I've accompanied friends to hospitals. I've had people visit me. No one immediately accuses me of being kidnapped. So I'm sure Samantha said that to them, or Sam.
So they ask this American girl, they're like recording her, and they're like, are you in danger? And she says no, but nods yes, because she thinks they're in danger. She thinks somebody's like after them to kill them. So then they, I don't know, let her leave. I don't really understand. All of these articles are like from the Sun. So, who knows what really happened. But so Samantha then escapes the hospital. The American girl says like she showed up with her fucking catheter still like,
Ew.
And the two of them go back to Sydney. And then Samantha's like, okay, while we're like, we have to go to this safe house that I know, which sounds basically just like a basement. There's no Wi-Fi. Oh, she keeps the American girl there for 8 days.
Oh, my gosh.
So then also the American girl can't get like any texts or anything like back to her family to tell them what's going on.
The American girl's not all there, is she?
I mean, she's 18.
Neither of them are.
No, something's off. Yeah. Something's off. Yeah.
She's just like very naive.
Yeah, there might be something. It happens. Yeah.
In this interview with her, she is just like, yeah, I was a fucking idiot. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll come clean. I don't know what the hell I was doing. Okay.
Yeah. So she's very.
Samantha kidnaps her for 8 days, basically.
Yeah, Samantha ends up kidnapping her.
That's how I read it, too. Yeah. So then the American girl's like visa is running out. She ends up getting deported back to the US. When she gets back to the U.S., Sam fucking messages her and is like, someone's out to kill you in the U.S. Try to come back to Australia. And at this point, the American girl's like, I think I don't want to go back to Australia. That wasn't like such a fun time for me. But I'll meet you in Canada.
That's crazy still.
Samantha bought her a plane ticket to Canada. So it's like coming out of her pocket.
For your kidnapper. She was just kidnapped. And she's like, look, this has been really traumatic, but I'll meet my kidnapper in Canada. Okay.
Well, it's like, what is it when somebody kidnaps you?
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, it's like Stockholm.
So they go to Canada. Sam gives the American girl a tracking device. Who knows what it is? It's just like something with a bunch of wires. And then the American girl realizes Sam is full of shit.
Finally.
And the way.
Yeah.
Okay. And here's the thing. Here's how she realizes she's full of shit is Sam had told the American girl that she was Swedish, that she was like Swedish royalty. Again, remember like the princess of Sweden, illegitimate child from the previous story.
Yeah.
So she's still sticking with that. She's like got these threads. In Canada, somebody like tried to speak Swedish to Samantha at some point, and Samantha was like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And this is when the American girl is like, oh, she's lying.
Oh no.
That's when it clicked for her.
If only they've met a Swede in any other time in Australia.
Oh my god.
Okay, so we're nearing the end. 2017, she like poses as a foster child somewhere, I don't know where, gets $20,000 worth of benefits.
This girl's age range is just
incredible.
Like, unbelievable.
She could play so many roles. I'm so jealous.
Uh-huh. Here's the thing. She cannot play so many roles. People are just dumb. People don't know what a 13-year-old actually looks like.
Right.
It's insane. Okay, the final one. And here's what she is currently standing charges for today. In 2019, she goes by the name Harper Hernandez. So we are just
all over the map.
Out there.
A whole different identity.
Come on down. Why not?
She's globetrotting, and so are her names.
You can't contain her or her origin story.
Identities.
It's also like, I know this is not the main issue with this girl, but the cultural appropriation.
Oh, it's bad.
Right.
The amount that she does.
And I'm guessing she's a white lady, looks cute,
whatever,
blonde.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Literally blonde. So this is back in Brisbane. She says she's 17, becomes an au pair again, which again, she's very good at. If she had just wanted to be a legit au pair.
I know.
But instead, she steals the mom's identity.
Okay. Not so great.
And takes her credit card and uses the mom's credit card to pose as a casting agent to a 13-year-old girl she met on Instagram, who she convinces she flies this girl and her mom to Australia so she can teach her how to become a model. And some of that teaching is like teaching this girl she was like running through scenarios with this girl of like, okay, in modeling, here's something that might happen. And one of them was like telling the front desk person that her sister had died.
Wow. That's key for modeling. Any model will always throw a family member down a hole.
You're on America's Next Top Model. You get some pretty outlandish scenarios that Tyra wants.
Tyra wants all the tea, and that involves pretending your family's dead.
Exactly.
So then Samantha like says that she's going to take the two kids on this day trip to some town and instead
Wait, two travels- kids. I thought it was the mom and the
no. So these are two different scams running concurrently. Oh. She is au-pairing for like two little kids, steals the mom's identity, and then gets this 13-year-old to fly to Melbourne.
Good.
And so those are like happening at the same time. But what she ends up going to jail for, what she ends up getting caught for, is she says she's taking these two girls. I don't know if they're girls. These two little kids. She says she's taking them on like a day trip. I don't know, to the east, and instead goes to the west.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's when I think like the mom is like, something's not right here. And I think like finds out about the credit card charges, calls the police. Samantha's arrested for kidnapping. Finally. She's facing like a ton of other charges. I don't even know what. And that is where she sits today in custody in Melbourne awaiting trial.
Wow.
And that is the scam artiste. Samantha as a party.
Wow. Sue, she is an artist. She's an artist.
I like this one. I love this one. I mean, I hate it, but I think we should.
Yeah. Yes.
This is it's good. Very good.
Wow. She is an artist.
Wow.
And
it's like with her, it's like a lifestyle. Like, because there's no, she spends so much of her own money. Like, and it doesn't seem to be trying to like, get that much money
it's
back.
Worth it,
it does
her.
Just seem genuinely it feels very like Munchausen-y.
Yes.
Yeah, like what's she gaining from all this?
It sounds like that's
this girl's
attention.
Yeah, and that's the only way she has any kind of a relationship in her life. Like her family's never mentioned, and the way she develops any relationship is to lie and tell someone she's a casting agent or lie and say she was abused and then hold on to that relationship as until they figure out she can't speak Swedish and then has to create a brand new friend.
But not to sympathize with the, like, whatever, the bad guy, but what if she's schizophrenic and she believes all this stuff and it's all real in her head, you know?
Well, but she seems, like, very I mean, one, I would push back on that because she covers her tracks constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't want to be in photos. She's constantly, like, I mean, look, there could be an element of paranoia, but she does seem to know, like, when to turn it on.
There's a reason to be paranoid. You're lying a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when it's, like, and not to say she's not mentally ill. I think, like, everything she has done definitely shows some shit fucked up. But I think, like, with schizophrenia, it's a bit more like you can't
control it.
It's, you can't control it. And, like, yeah, it doesn't seem like she's having delusions. Like, she seems very aware of what she's doing.
And very smart when it comes to forging the documents and cracking into emails. I think that's pretty incredible that she got that judge's email and identity not to put a credit card in the judge's name or not to, like, buy a house on the judge's dime, to just use it as an email as evidence for her own small idea. And then she's, like, scanning, you know, conning documents. And that's incredible to me. When somebody's forging documents and goes that far, I think that's an incredible, meticulous mind that's very creepy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would say that this is not that bad of a scam, but the victims are all children.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so bad. So, like, the kid that came to model, the 18-year-old that she took advantage of. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like a young child that she's taking advantage
of. The kids she's au-pairing with, who knows if she was like lying with them? Like if she was saying that they were her kids when she was out with them and they didn't have any money. Like who knows what she actually did with them when she was on their own with them. It's really creepy.
Also, like, you know, look, I never want to feel bad for police departments, but like they put like thousands of hours into trying to figure out who she was. And like bring her traffickers to justice.
Damn.
Like, and of course it's like she's like a pretty white girl, but it is like, yeah, dude, like this is like shit, like this is fucked up. You can't do this. It just feels like she watched every episode of Law and Order and was like, I'm gonna
do that.
I bet
she did. Do
we know anything about her parents? Mm-hmm. Like how did she figure this out?
Or that stepdad?
I mean, maybe somebody does. I don't. Yeah. I couldn't find very much. It was like briefly mentioned in that New Yorker article, but like there's just like not I would love to talk to them.
It seems like they're distancing themselves from her because if they're not traceable as well, that's probably on purpose. Because a lot of these con artists, you find out about their parents pretty easily. Like, it's pretty much linked up. Or there will be like interviews, or someone will say, you know, this is my cousin, she's ill. Especially in Australia, I feel like people are very open. What if she's not even Australian? We don't even know. And what if her last name, Asparazzi, isn't even her last name? What is it?
Twist. It's not that.
This is fascinating. And I can't believe that I've never heard of this girl. Like, after she's been conning people for 10 years.
So I have had multiple best friends that have definitely used me and used my kindness to, you know, spend money on them or pay for things or sort of help them if they needed help and take my time and energy and, like, you know, phone hours away, like worrying about their lives. And I feel like it's such a, when you're the honor and the code of friendship is so easily pulled and stretched to, like, make alliances for some horrible things. Like, you could just be like, oh, but you're my best friend, you'll never let me down and you'll always stand by me. And there's all these, like, even children shows like Winnie the Pooh, it's like friends are always there. Well, if your friend is lying to you and wants, you know, to steal something and gives you that face, like, friends are there forever no matter what, it's a very uncomfortable position.
I don't know. I think it depends how you're raised. My parents were like, trust nobody. I never trusted my friends. Or, like, whenever girls would be like, but we hate her, right? We all hate her. My mom would be like, don't do that shit. You fucking judge for yourself if you hate somebody. You don't do it because everybody else does.
Oh, I was always ready to hate for a friend. I was like,
really? Nature, I was like, as long as it's not me, you hate, I'll
Who
hate
are we against? I love it. I was always ready to jump on a side. Yeah, that's incredible. Ariel,
is a great story.
How did you feel reading it? Were you like, what was running through your mind when you were reading it? It just kept going.
I mean, a little bit of admiration, if I'm being totally honest, because, like, I can't even get myself to sit down and write a pilot. And this bitch is just, like, forging documents left and right and just, like, sitting down and doing the work.
She has a lot of drive.
She's putting in the hours.
If the right person had met her at the right time, she could be president.
Totally.
Yes.
I don't know if that's what they have.
Well, certainly of America.
Completely.
Yes. I mean, for one, it's, like, very chaotic, because I think something that happens, and maybe I'm, like, I think with, like, young women especially, like, people don't really pay attention to, like, what we're capable of, even when it's kind of evil and, like, villainous. Yes. And so reading stuff about, like, trying to, like, the most comprehensive article I could find was this New Yorker article, which, like, I'm very grateful for, but it was written in, like, 2015. Okay. And she has gone on to do so many more scams since then. And there's no, like, follow up. So I think, like, reading it, partly I was like, this is incredible. Like, what an amazing, like, this is exactly what I was looking for when I wanted something to present to you guys. Yeah. But also, like, why is nobody, like, why? I think the reason we don't know anything about her childhood is because no journalists have, like, taken up that mantle to go find out.
Right.
Because it's just, like, not a priority to find out about, like, a 31-year-old pretty girl who's, like, scammed some people but didn't, like, kill anybody.
Yet.
Like, didn't even really take anybody's money.
Yeah.
There's time. She has her 40s to really, like, get in her groove of, like, murder and more bribes and more abductions.
Can I tell you, I do think it's very fascinating that she did not pull any of this shit in America. And I think part of it is because, and maybe I'm projecting, or maybe I'm just, like, assuming something, but, like, I think it's because, like, our prisons here are terrifying and they will throw the fucking book at her and we don't believe in reform here. So it's like, bye-bye.
She'll get beaten up to a pulp there in a second.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know. If you're talking about...
No, I think she'll do great.
You think?
Look at Anna Delvey. Anna Delvey's thriving. Like, thriving.
Anna Delvey's making these little comic books of, like, anime girls in short skirts. It's incredible. Yeah.
I feel like and Anna Delvey would be best friends.
Oh, you would love Anna Delvey, Ariel. Because she doesn't hurt any kids. She scams rich, young millennials. You would love her, though.
She's great.
I love the heir story. She pretended she was an heiress. How often that comes up.
Yeah.
Right. How many heiresses are even alive? There's probably like four, but 40,000 pretending to be heiresses.
I love it. I mean, it's a hard question. I mean, like Paris Hilton, like it works for her, you know?
But she had like the ultimate evidence.
She's the ultimate scammer and I love it.
Yeah. I gotta watch that doc.
It actually is an heiress.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Ariel, this was fucking fascinating.
This was so fun.
Thank you
so much. This was really fun. Thank you.
I just don't want to hang up because I feel like, is there anything else you want to say? But I know we've talked about.
No, it's okay. We can just talk on the phone later.
I know. It's really just.
You can just call
me. Okay, that's true. It's 100% true.
If you are a victim of Samantha as a party,
let us
Samantha
know.
Samantha at the party. Let us know. Email us at scamwellpodcast@gmail.com. We want to know more about this girl. If you're Australian and know more about her, let us
know.
Even
if you're Australian, just call us. You can pronounce these cities for us. We'd love to know.
Australian John, where you been? Come on.
And Ariel, if people want to reach out and find all the funny things you're saying and writing about, where can they on social media?
Please follow me on Twitter. Yes. You can follow me on Instagram too, but it's not as good. I'm really a member of the written word. It's Ariel S. Elias. So it looks like Ariel's Elias. Because Ariel Elias is already taken. But I'll spell it real quick. It's ArielSelias.
Yes.
That's my handle on both.
Yay. Yeah. Guys, follow her. She's so funny. It's been written. I love it. And guys, if you have any tips or anything, please call us because you know I love a phone call on our hot tip hotline, which is, I think this is right. I don't have my phone on me. 347-509-9414. Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
I have it. Good job. Only 100 episodes in and I finally memorized our hot tip hotline.
Good job.
Guys, thank you so much.
And you can always go to scamwellpodcast.com to check out our back episodes, our Patreon, our merch, all that kind of stuff. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. And thank you, Ariel. Thank you, Caitlin, producer Kate. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
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 Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side habit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.